So I'm excited for today. I don't know who else is, but I certainly am. And so what we're doing here today, is it new? Yeah. Is it fresh? Absolutely it is. But it's also purposeful. We have a reason for why we're doing this today. And because we're changing things up, it's in response to our sermon, what our context of our sermon is today. And our sermon today is all in, devoted to worship. Now, a lot of us, when we hear worship, we think it is praise from our lips. If I were to submit to you today that that is just a small portion of what worship actually is, would you believe me? You should, because I'm telling the truth. Worship, when we hear the word worship in today's culture, in the Western culture, we think worship is what happens up here when the worship team, right? They're the worship team. They're going to lead us in worship. What I'm going to submit to you today is how you live your life every moment outside of this church is worship. It is worship. And so today we're going to look at how the early church was devoted to worship. Now, before we get to our scripture, some of your versions will read unity instead of praise. The idea is that the words are so close in the Greek, it flowed better with the initial intent that they have chosen in the ESV to use worship. It all means the same thing when you go to the root Greek. But your version might say they had all things in common, unity versus worship, or the praise, and they were praising for all things. Well, we'll get to that here in a minute. That's just a side note. So, when you hear the word worship, how many of us immediately think of music? Right? A lot of us think music, whether in church, in the car, or in the shower. And while music is a beautiful expression of worship, it is not the full picture of worship. Worship is a response to who God is. So this morning in Sunday school, we talked about what has God done for you that you've shared with people many times. When we share that, guess what that is? Worship. It's part of worship. It's not just what we sing, but it's how we live, how we love others, how we serve others. And worship, in the true nature of what it is, worship is a life surrendered to Christ. The early church didn't worship just by singing. They worshiped by their devotion, their generosity, in their relationships, and through their witness. Now, the early church's devotion wasn't because they decided to. They didn't get together and have a meeting and say, we need to make sure we're doing this. It wasn't directed. Jesus didn't say, you need to worship like this. This is what it must look like. This is how it happens. Here's what it was. Their worship was a response. Their worship was in response to encountering Christ Jesus. Their worship, having known and having lived with and been around Jesus and believed in Christ, listening to his words, listening to his teachings, it was in response. And therefore, the disciples were able to teach the early church what it meant to follow and worship Jesus. If we are truly all in, if we are all in on following Jesus, and I hope that we are, we must embrace worship as a way of life, not just a Sunday activity. If we wanted to, we could forego worship today. And we could just stand up here and share testimony of the things that the Lord has done in our life. And guess what? All of a sudden, as Braden shared, that the guy woke up pain-free from scoliosis. How many of you said amen? I heard several of you. Guess what? That's worship. Worship is in response to who Jesus is. So if you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, if not, there's many friends sitting amongst you, share with them or look to the screen. We are in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And that actually, don't worry about it, it won't be on the... Oh, did it start working?
There was a button that I pressed.
I like buttons. Go ahead and click that button again. Caleb, you can actually run through that. And then on the second screen, you just swap it. So on the second screen, the small screen, there's the arrow going to the two boxes. Right, yep, there. Okay, and then hit your space bar. It works even when it doesn't want to work for me. So, hey, praise the Lord. All right, so Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, starting with 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Next screen. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking the bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. That's praising God. That's what we were talking about in the Greek. And having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Who added to their number day by day? The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The early church lived in a way that was radical and life-giving. Next slide, please. Our first point that I want to bring our attention to today is worship is an expression of the heart. Okay? How many times before we go into the sermon, or when I'm doing the opening prayer, do I talk about an overflow from our heart? Lord, we understand who you are in our life. We know that you are God, creator over all things, because it's an expression of the heart. I never want worship to be in this church something that we have to do because it's a religious activity. I will submit to you, when it becomes a religious activity, it's time to send it out the door. Worship is an expression from your heart. So right now, each and every one of you who are proclaiming Christians this morning, answer this in your mind. What has the Lord done for you? What has He saved you from? What addiction has He freed you from? What sin has He forgiven you of? I was a dirty, depraved, wicked individual. I have much reason to worship the Lord this morning. Do you? Because it's an expression of the heart for what the Lord has done in our lives. We know that the early church was devoted. We know that that means the devoted, it's to be steadfastly attentive or unwavering. So they were steadfastly attentive or unwavering to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. And a lot of times when we hear worship, we assume it is singing. We assume it means, oh, there's singing coming up, we're going to sing. But it's not just about singing. Worship is so much deeper than that, because it is an expression of our heart's devotion to God. It is an expression. And yes, we worship through song, but we also worship through how we pray, how we love, how we serve, and how we live our lives each and every day. The early church didn't limit worship to a service or to certain music. It was a way of life. Amen. Worship isn't just what we do on Sundays, but it's who we are before God every single day. So if your words in here on a Sunday morning are simply acts of religious activity to sing, but your life does not show evidence, there's a disconnect there. Because your life shows who the Lord is in your life every day. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." I'm going to submit to you this morning that the early church understood what that meant. They understood. They didn't just worship in a temple or on a single day a week. They worshiped everywhere. They worshiped in their life, in their homes, during meals, while they were in the market, just busy doing things. Worship isn't about what we do on Sunday, but it's what we are before God every single day. So have I gotten the point across that it's not about singing? Do we get that this morning? It's not about singing, but it's about who we are before God every single day. So my question for you this morning is, do you find that your worship is exclusively here in the church? Does your worship only take place when you're in this building? Is your worship just habitual, right? Why are we doing service backwards today? Because I want to break habits. We'll worship later. We're going to hear the message first. Is it awkward? Is it odd? Yeah, you better believe it is, but hey, embrace it. So is it habitual? Or is it an overflowing of your heart revealing itself in response to who God is in your everyday life? Is it an overflow of who the Father is in your life every single day? Are His mercies new every day? Do we have a reason to have fresh response every single day? Do you find, let's not repeat that, if worship is an expression of the heart, then what must we do? We have to feed our heart. If it's an expression of our heart, we need to feed our heart so our hearts will overflow. It is out of the overflow, but it's both in our personal life, but also in our church body as a corporate body. Personally, how do you feed your heart so you can overflow? Start with prayer. Start with talking to God. It's that simple. Read your Bible. Open your Bible up and read the words. Meditate on those words. A beautiful picture here. In the Greek, when we talk about in the Hebrew, when we talk about meditating on God's word, it literally is equated to chewing. To chew on God's word. It's not a smoothie that we suck up through a straw, but rather we have to chew through it. We have to work through it. You follow? Chew on God's word. Let it sink in. Let it become who you are every day. So meditate on God's word. And then, guess what? You can practice worship through singing. You can do that in the shower. You can do it on car ride concerts when you're just in the car. We can put all of this into practice in our personal life every single day. We don't have to wait for somebody else. We all know how to turn the radio on in our car, right? Unless you don't have a car in your dash, you have a way to turn on a radio. We have a way to do this. If you don't have a Bible, let me know. We'll get you a Bible. There's zero reason why you're attending here and don't have a Bible. We need to be in our Bible every single day. And then how do we do it corporately? How do we fill our hearts so we're overflowing corporately? Gather with the church. When the church is open, be here. When the church is putting on an event, when we're doing extracurricular, be here. Be here. Pray for and encourage one another. That's another way we can do it corporately. This morning we prayed for needs in our Sunday school class. Guess what? That is fulfilling exactly what we're talking about here. Encourage one another. Spur one another on. See, worship expresses what's in our hearts, but it also tells us how to live. Caleb, next slide, please. Worship is a lifestyle of surrender. What does that mean? See, worship, again, it's not just about music, but it's about giving ourselves to God. It's giving of ourselves to the Lord. Music expresses worship, but real worship is seen in how we love, how we serve, and how we obey God every single day. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual what? Worship. Your spiritual worship. Here the Apostle Paul is defining worship as offering our whole life to God.
Worship is not
about singing.
I will get that point across before the end of today's service. Worship is not about singing,
but it's how we live in response to God's mercy. Let's make that a little bit easier to digest. Let's chew on it this way, if you will. Because God gave us everything, we give God everything. Because God gave us everything, our response is to give Him everything. Sometimes that means we have to surrender certain things in our life. The early church understood this. They lived out worship by serving, by giving, and by supporting one another. My question this morning, the second question I have for you is, do you see worship as personal, or is it something we do together? How do we see worship? Do you worship on your own and it's not part of the church, or do you find yourself worshiping together? Or let's rephrase this, are you doing life alone, or are you doing life together? Guess what? Worship is more than singing. It's serving, it's giving, and it's investing in each other, because worship is a lifestyle of surrender. If we are all in, as this sermon series is, and we agree with this, we invite others into our lives. So in response, we open our doors to our life, to other people, and we worship together in everyday moments. So when somebody calls and says, hey, I'm having a really terrible day, what should you do? Pray. Pray with them right then and there. And guess what? That is an act of worship. You are giving it to the Lord. You are entrusting it to Him. Somebody's having a bad day because they're discouraged. What do? Lift them up. Guess what? It's worship. It is all part of our worship. So when we live in surrender, when we give everything that we are to God because He first gave us everything, it keeps our spiritual tanks full, which leads us to our third point. Worship. Caleb, next slide, please. Worship fuels our witness. Worship fuels our witness. Because, guys, worship is more than singing on Sundays, isn't it? I think I've said that like a dozen times already. Worship, 12 million is what one says. Worship is more than singing on Sundays. In fact, it's how we live every single day. It's our response. It's how we live. Worship doesn't just stay here in the church walls. This morning I had to run home for something, and as I'm walking down the sidewalk out here, I can hear the drums playing, I can hear music playing. There's somebody walking down through the Rock Center parking lot on a morning walk, and it displays perfectly the worship isn't just contained in these four walls. We play loud enough sometimes that they can hear it next door. I say more power to the worship team. Play louder. But our worship is not contained to the four walls of the church. See, it's what worship should do is it should overflow, right? It should overflow into our conversations, into our workplaces, into our families, and it should be our witness to the world. Now, you guys have heard me say multiple times, we've talked about our sphere of influence. Does everyone know what I mean when I say sphere of influence? It's where God has placed us and the people around us that nobody else here in this church is around that we are able to have a witness to. This is known as your sphere of influence. Go back to last week when we had Santiago Guerrero here. We asked him at lunch, how did you come to know Jesus? If you were so high up in the Jehovah Witness and you were an editor for their magazine, how is it that you became a Christian? He also held a second job, and it was him and one other guy that shared an office. And that guy that shared an office with him was a Christian. and because he decided to talk about who Christ was in his life, at his workplace, in his sphere of influence, Santiago says that is how he came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sphere of influence. So if anybody in here thinks, well, I am nobody, God can't use me, listen. Kids, teens, you have a sphere of influence at the school. On your sports team, you have a sphere of influence. You, Carver, have a sphere of influence on the bus.
Amen.
I was waiting for somebody. Tim, you have a very unique sphere of influence where you're at. Arvin and Crystal, yours is going to look completely different now than it ever has. But you still have it, don't you? Ruth, you have it. Out where you live, you have a sphere of influence. Norm, you have a sphere of influence. You're the next door neighbor. You have a house in Des Moines. You have all kinds of people that you know that nobody else knows. Ken, all the time that you have spent working in education and all the different, your sphere of influence is so vast compared to mine. David, Pellicorp, come on. We all have a sphere of influence. And if we will just open our mouths in an act of worship, you don't know whose life you could change. You could change the next missionary that is sent out from this church because you decided to open your mouth. And I just think that's pretty cool. I think that that is hugely beneficial to just focus in on that. And so our worship leaves the walls of the church and it overflows from who we are. It's in our homes, it's in our conversations, it's in our workplaces, it's in our families and our witness to the world. Yes, we do sing and worship. But worship is not just singing. Doug, if you don't know that yet, you will by the end of service today. But we also worship through our actions, through our generosity, and through our faithfulness to who Jesus Christ is in our life. The early church's worship, guess what? It was contagious. It was contagious. Not because of what they sang. It doesn't matter what tune they played. It doesn't matter if their rock guitar was in tune. It wasn't about that. It was because of how they lived in response to the message of Christ Jesus. So the early church's worship was visible. Guess what? Our worship should be visible. Our worship should be visible. Here's why. Because when people saw the devotion of the early church, guess what? They were drawn to Jesus. Verse 47, Caleb, go back two slides and put 47 back on the screen. There you go. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Am I the only one crazy enough to think in here that that could be engaged church? Our worship must be visible. It must be visible because people will be drawn to that. And the Lord will add to our number day by day. Do I care about filling up the seats? Not as much as I do filling up heaven. I've told all the ministers in the Ministerial Alliance here in town, I don't care if our church, our people, or myself lead somebody to the Lord and that person doesn't end up in our church. I want them in a church that preaches the whole gospel, and I want their life to be forever changed in response. I don't care what church they land in. Selfishly, I absolutely care. And I want all these seats full. But what's more important is that our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters are coming to know the Lord. Is your worship visible? Let's be like the early church whose devotion to worship was so contagious that it drew others to Christ. Let's let Engage Church be that. What a thing to think about, just if you will, think with me. What a thing it would be to be so devoted to something and living in full surrender that others are drawn to it. I believe this so much, and it consumes every fiber of who I am, that other people are like, hey, I want that. I want to be a part of that. What is this? Let's let Engage Church be so devoted to worship, be so devoted in our response, so devoted to the people of our community and to our spheres of influence that we see others drawn to Christ Jesus in response. We know this to be true. We just read it, verse 47 of Acts 2. The Lord added to their number daily. And when we live a life of worship, we see the difference in us personally. We see how God is changing us. But then also, guess what? The people in our sphere of influence, they see. They see that there's something different, and they are drawn to it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Worship isn't just for us. It's not for us, but it's a testimony to the world. It is what fuels our witness, which means we must openly profess Christ. That means we cannot be quiet in our spheres of influence. It means that the people working around us, our family, they must know what we believe and what we stand for. When we live a life of worship, it's then that our witness becomes powerful. Amen. Does your worship lead others to Jesus, or is it hidden? What does your worship tell others how you feel about Jesus? You must let your life reflect Christ at all times, because your worship is your witness. Praise is public. We're getting ready to praise here in just a few minutes. It's public. And when you worship freely, when you give that praise, when you share that testimony like Braden did, we declare God's greatness to the world. People are drawn to Jesus when they see authentic, joyful, and consistent worship. Imagine with me, you got to pretend like this is a really, really, really big piece of wood that I'm talking about here, okay? So if you need to close your eyes and just listen, you can, but just play along with me here. Imagine a campfire. If you only add wood once a week, what happens? The fire dies out. You might have a big, bright flame on Sunday, but on Monday, without wood added, the embers start to cool. It starts to die out. By Wednesday, there's barely a flicker. By Saturday, the fire is completely out. Then on Sunday, we try to rekindle the fire. We try to light it back up, wondering why it feels like we're starting over every single week. But if you tend the fire, if you add wood daily, if you keep the oxygen flowing, guess what? The fire stays strong. Have you followed where I'm going with this yet? Come on. The fire stays strong. Worship is just like that. Worship is just like that analogy. If we only worship on Sunday, our passion grows cold for the Lord. But if we stay in the Word, if we are in prayer, we're serving others, we live in community, and our heart is an overflow of what God has done in our life, guess what? Worship stays alive. The early church didn't let their fire die. They didn't let the fire get quenched and then they had to refuel it. They fueled it daily. They never let it die because they were doing life together. They were devoted. They were all in. And here's the truth. When our worship is part of our everyday life, guess what? It doesn't just change us. It changes the world around us. That's exactly what happened in Acts 2, 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Their worship wasn't just for them. It was their witness. And that's what we are called to do here at Engage Church. To be a church that engages our community for Jesus. And that means our worship must be an expression of what the Lord has done in our life. We can do this by living a life of worship beyond these walls. When you go out today, guess what? You're going to be faced with life. Who's going through a trying time right now? Who's got a struggle that's coming up in life or that they're facing, they're walking through, it's hard, we don't know how we're going to make it, right? Sounds hopeless, right? Sounds like there's not a whole lot to keep moving on. But it is through a life of worship that those things are given over to God in trust. See, a life of worship is outside of these walls. It's how we live. It's how we respond to the things that come up. It's how we serve others, our neighbors. It's how we give, and it's how we share Jesus wherever we go. Church, if I haven't made this clear enough, I hope here in the next couple of minutes I do. Worship isn't about what happens here on Sundays. Worship is not about singing. It's what happens out there. Amen. In response to what the Lord has done in here. It's about how we love, how we give, and how we reflect Jesus to the world. So here's how God is challenging us this week. With a question, two questions. How will you fuel your fire this week? Are you adding wood today? What about tomorrow morning? Who knows, Monday mornings are the worst to wake up to because that means you got to go back to work, you got to go back to school. Some of us, we get to sleep in. Most of us don't. But some still have to work. I'm looking at these two. They get to sleep in a little bit. The rest of us, we have to get up. But listen, that doesn't change the hardness of life, does it? How will you fuel your fire? Are you going to add wood tomorrow morning? Are you going to add wood on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? And then the greater overall question is, how are you going to worship this week? How are you going to worship this week? We can worship by praying. We can worship by spending intentional time with God every day. We can worship by serving. We can serve our neighbor. We can go and serve at the school. We can come and serve the church, the building. Do we know somebody that we can encourage? Is there somebody we can call and encourage them to keep going? Is there somebody that we could provide help or bless? Essentially, what we are left here today is worship is by living for Jesus daily. So will you be aware this week that your life is a testimony to those around you? Will you be aware of that? Let's make it where Sundays aren't the day that we bring the fire up, we put the flame to the wood and it ignites. No, let's let Sundays be the overflow of a life already devoted to God in worship. Let's let Sundays be the corporate refueling, not the who can build the fire the fastest. We used to do that as kids. Everybody got a pile of wood and some paper and you had to build a fire. We don't want to come in here on Sundays and have to figure out how to build the fire. We want to come in here on Sundays and let it be an overflow of the whole week of worship to God. When we come together to worship, it should be the result of what's already happening in our lives, not the only time that we practice our devotion to God. If the only time you practice worship is here on a Sunday, you're missing something. So, let's stand to our feet this morning. We're about to move into a time of worship. But before we do, I need to just ask everybody, if you would, stand to your feet, close your eyes, bow your head, don't pay attention to anybody around you. My question to you this morning is, do you need to take the first step of worship today? Do you need to take that first step? And that means that you are surrendering your life to Jesus. Do you need to take that step today? The gospel tells us that Jesus gave his life so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be restored, so that we could be set free. But guess what? It requires a response from us. And the greatest act of worship that you can ever make is to fully give your life to him. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how simple it is. So if you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Christ, or you've walked away and you've made some decisions and you're realizing today that you need to come back, I want you to know today is your day. Don't let Satan tell you to do it next week. There's nothing that you have to make right. You don't have to be good enough. Guess what? Jesus makes us good enough. So you don't have to wait. Is he calling to you today? Is he calling you to a life of worship? If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand where you're at? So here's how we're going to end, right? End, but yet we're just beginning worship here. I want you to consider this whole set list that they're about to play through as the altar call. This whole set list, the next several songs that we're about to sing, as we move into this time of corporate worship through singing, I want you to invite you to do something different today. Because the whole day's already been different, so why not a little bit more? Worship isn't about the song. It's not about the song. It's about the hearts we bring before God. It's about the hearts we bring before God. We have spent time learning that worship is a way of life, but now we get to take time to express that worship through singing. If somebody's up here at the altar and you're aware of something that they need prayer for, guess what? Your act of worship is to come pray for them. Right now, we're going to go into a time of music, but it's not just music. It's leading us to express and our response to who God is in our life. So let's not worship. Let's not just worship with our voices, but let's worship with our whole selves. So as the worship team leads us, listen, if you're ready to take a step deeper into worship this morning, if you're willing to commit to making sure your entire life is evidence of your worship to who the Lord is, I want to invite you to come forward to engage fully with God. Don't hold back. Let us be all in as we worship God together. Amen.